Today's Mishnah in the Sechet Peah is Perek Daled, Mishnah Daled. So we were talking about the particular takonas that were made in order for us to make sure that there no danger comes to the aniyim that are pretty desperate and might be pushing each other and fighting each other. We were talking about the cases where they might fall off of a trellis, or they might fall off of a date palm. And there's another takona in that same vein to make sure that there's nothing dangerous and you don't have to risk your life to collect payah. And therefore, they were not allowed to bring the normal instruments of collecting the payah. So let's say they want to do the katsira. Normally, you would use sickles, you know? And if you're digging things up, you would be using these sharp shovels or spades. And this is not a good thing to have with these people who are competing with each other and everybody's, you know, taking that sickle. Meanwhile, they take the other guy's fingers along with the wheat that they're looking at. Not a good idea at all. And because of that, you cannot use magalot. And if it's the type of thing that you have to uproot, you're not allowed to bring in spades. This was another takana to make sure that nobody gets hurt. Perek Daled Mishnah Hey. Shalosh Abayot Bayom. So I did this different pirushim of what an abaya is, because it's a very funny lashon. It is used in Yirmiyahu. But it's a machlokas over there. What exactly it means in Yeshayahu? I mean, what exactly it means in Yeshayahu? So somewhere it means the same thing it means in the Gemara. Anibaya is you're looking for a solution. So here you're looking for your payah. So it would be three times a day in which you get to look for your payah. Others one, ibaya is a lashon of exposing. So you three times the balabayit has to expose his payah to others. And, okay, it's another meaning. And, some of the Mefarshei HaMikra learned that it actually means Kitziras. But there are three times, in any event, what it means is there are three times in the day that we are Koveya for the Aniyim to come and to come and collect their payah. And why is this? Because, look, I mean, if Lamaisa, we don't allow them to come in any time that they show up without having the balabayit that is there, because when I'm a chayev of a balabayit to leave his field hefker for aniyim to come in and maybe steal his bicycle or whatever, so then that means that if he wants to be there, so then he should be there, but he's not going to be there all day long, so we would kuvia three times in order to make sure that there would be three times for the owner to be there, but that he would have the rest of the day free to work for himself. But others learn that it's the other side. The takana is for the aniyim. Because, look, if we allow people to come all the time, there's people that can't come all the time. So that the same way that when we say, okay, so let's do the Daf Yomi later today. We've got these people, wait a minute, I can't come to Daf Yomi today. I'm busy helping my wife do it. And what if it's the wife that's doing the actual collecting of the payah? And she can't get out in the morning because she's taking care of the kids before they go to Gan, right? And what if the guy is an old guy and it takes him forever to walk the 2 miles to this guy's field and he's going to get there in the evening. And meanwhile, everybody's going to finish up all of the payah. He's going to have nothing left when he arrives. It's all very sad. And what if it's the kids that they only are able to go collect the pay after they get home from school? How about that? So we need to have three times for the people that are available in the morning, people available in the afternoon, and people available in the evening. And this way, we have an equitable distribution of our payah. So b'shachar, b'chatzot hayom, and b'mincha. Rabbi Gamliel omer, lo amru, ela kedei shelo yifchatu. This whole idea was only said so that it shouldn't be less than this. You know, but I mean, if a guy wants to give out payah more often, he could. Rabbi Akiva says, on the contrary, lo omer ela kedei shelo yosifu. We don't want somebody to have, you know, a special private payah session for which he invites his relatives by telephone. I'm going to open up the payah session today at this hour. And then all of the cousins, his cousins and his aunts, they all show up for the, his private pay session. That's what we're trying to avoid, and therefore he can't add. Shall Beit Namer have it's another very interesting way of giving payah that would allow the aniyim not to have to wait until the end of a vast field. So let's imagine you got this very big field, and this field has like 100 rows that go from east to west. So if you give payah normally, so when you finish the last, up to the last 1 out of 60, although I must report, it's, I guess it's not Lashon Hara because Yerushalmi said it, so how bad could it be Lashon Hara, that these people from the Beit Namer did not leave their proper 160. They left only 1 out of 100, so they didn't like them for that. But we'll ignore that. There was something nice that the Beit Namer people did. So they said, look, instead of the aniyim needing to wait, whatever it's going to take us, 3 weeks to do the ketzira on this sada, what we will do is we will leave payah at the end of each row. And that means that we'll have basically a long row of payah going north and south in this field of east-west. But how do they make sure that it's precisely at the same point so that the row will be completed? They use the rope. So they put the rope down at the beginning of the row, fastened it at the end of the rope, and they would only be ketzira the length of the rope. And at the end of the rope, they stopped their ketzira. And they did this in every row, which gave them a nice smooth row at the end of the field in the opposite direction of the plowing. But this way, every day, the aniyim could come, and they would have the payah of that row, and that way they were mekayim that mitzvah every single day. So therefore, they were malaktim ala chevel. They collected the ketzira along a rope that they put in the ground. V'notnim peyam mikol oman v'oman. They would end up giving peyam from every single row separately. And because of that, they were actually mishtabchim in that. So the Yerushalmi says, even though they were angry at them for their 1/100th deal, but they said they were very special in doing it this way, because that way every single day, this Yerushalmi says that they were mishabeach them at the same time that they had tainus on them. So, I mean, the reason is not clear exactly. I mean, it is clear that the poor have an advantage because they get a little bit every single day to eat. But it could be sometime over there in the Mefarshim and the Yerushalmi say that if you give a matana ketana to a poor person every single day, and somebody else gives a matana gedola that's just as large to a poor person once, the person who gave every single day, so he has the schar of every single mesina, and each day is a new mitzvah. So over here also would be a new mitzvah. Now, the question is, Yotaina, that we learned before, remember back in the first parak, that you're supposed to bedafka leave payah at the end of the field, because otherwise you could suddenly leave payah in the middle, and even though maybe you might be yotzei, but then that would be fooling the poor, and again, you would be playing games. But of course, that doesn't apply over here. There, you had no idea. It was completely random. But over here, since they did every day along the rope, so the poor would know precisely where it is that they would be able to get payah that day. So there was no problem of what we learned in the first perek. Perek Dalet Mishnah Vav. Now, remember, the truth is that now is, I think, perfect time, since we're going to be talking about Lekat Shikha and Peah, and the Masechet is going to be turning to those specific dinim, is to speak a little bit about the Seder Hadvarim of Lekat Shikha u'Peah. So remember, the Baal Asada begins his work on the Ketzira. So he grabs the stalks and he's holding his magal and he cuts it and he's about to put it down and a piece falls out of his hand. Easily happen. He's not allowed to pick it back up because that is actually the first matana that has to be left for aniyim, and that is his leket. It's what it is that can be collected. We just read that about Ruth yesterday, and 2 days ago we learned about what is considered to be leket there, and how it is that he saw, Boaz saw what a tzaddikah she was, that she was able to differentiate, that if it was three, it was considered to be like it. That was the whole, I think Rashi brings that, so if you read your root. So we just saw that. Okay, so that's the first thing that he would leave. Obviously, that's before you get to the stage of Peah. Now, whatever, days later, he's coming to the end of his field. So then he has to leave the last, Mirabonah, the last 60th of his field. He leaves as Peah. Now, throughout the time that he was doing his original Ketira, what he did was is he left the produce out in the sun, and he would tie them together. As you've seen, you often go by fields, and you see, of course, nowadays they have it mechanized, so they have bales. But so he would tie them. And then he has to go back, and he picks up the sheaves, or these bales, and brings them into the pile in which he's got all of his things. If he leaves some behind and forgot them, that's called shikha. That's called forgetting. So then, depending on the size, as we're going to see, he overlooked some. He's not allowed, lo tashuv lekachto, he's not allowed to turn back to where he was and bring them over to the big pile. And not only that, even if there was some left that hadn't been cut, he's not allowed to go back afterwards. If he finished cutting, he's not allowed to turn back and to cut them again. All of that is left for the aniyim. So then that means that the order, the normal order will be leket, peah, and shikha, actually. But since shikha includes things that are standing, which he forgot as he was going down the row, so we talk about leket, shikha, and peah in that order. Now, over here, the mitzvah is specifically to Bnei Yisrael, as it says, B'kutzurchem eskitzir artzechem. So this artzechem obviously is not talking to Goyim. It's talking about to those to whom Eretz Yisrael is artzechem. And therefore, if an akum was katzar et sadeo, so let's say this guy was interested in becoming Jewish, you know, and he bought himself a chelek, a field in Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to the Rabbanut for his Gerut learning, and while he was a Goy, he did the Ketzira, and then his Giur came through. So now the question is, so now does he have to do Mikayim the mitzvahs with everything that he continues now, or do we say that since he had already done the Ketzira before, and even though the things are now still lying there in the field, I mean, he hasn't brought them over to the last thing that he does, which he brings everything in next to his barn, he piles it all up. He hasn't done that. So would he be chayev in any of the matanais? No. He's potter min ha-leket, u-min ha-shikha, u-min ha-peah. So see, according to this Tana, since what he did as a goy, he doesn't have to, even though now he's a Yisrael, he does not have to leave any peah. Remember, there's la niva la gerta azov is even after you did the work. And he's allowed to even go back and pick up the leket that had fallen out of his hands or any shikha. And that's because all of these things are mentioned in the context of b'kutzurchem ketzirat tzechem, a wonderful time of the year for us to be learning this Mishnah, exactly when we just still feel all the pleasure of reading this on Shavuos. Ah, so we're zeichet to the Mishnah here in Peah afterwards. Okay? So even though in the Pasuk itself, it's interesting that the Torah discusses in the B'kutzurchem is Ketzirat Tzechem not to take Peah, not to be Ketzir. The Peah is the first part of the Pasuk, even though that's the last thing that you would be doing, right? After the Leket, and certainly after the Leket. So, you know, why exactly is it written that way? Because it's a little strange. So, I mean, it could be that the Pasuk maybe is talking about the Isurim, and the Mishnah is talking about what happens first. So the Mishnah talks about Leket because, I mean, that is going on as soon as you start, you're holding it, you might have dropped something right away. So Leket would be the first thing, essentially, that you do, and then you would still have Shikra in the standing, and then Peah would come at the end when you're finishing when you're finishing the chiyuv. Okay, fine. To remember that the peah, you become chayev in the peah, in the sense that you're not allowed to cut the peah from the moment that you start your katsira, like we learned before, the beginning of the mesecha. Because of that, the pasuk talks about the peah first, and the reality is that the peah comes last. All right, fascinating, good beginning. And in fact, we'll see this machlokas in about this sugya. Do we have time? It's sort of late. Should we finish the mishnah tomorrow, or should I? Okay, we'll finish now. It'll be a little later. Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev b'shikcha she'en ha'shikcha b'shat ha'imur. Rabbi Yehuda says it's true that you would be potter from leket and peah, but you still would have to leave the shikcha, because that actually takes place. The chiyuv of peah and the chiyuv of leket took place while he was a goy. But the chiyuv of shikcha is when you're taking the things now from where they had been originally left in the field, and now you're collecting them to bring to a central place where you're gathering all your stuff. And by that time, you're already a Yisrael. And if as a Yisrael, he forgot something behind, so it would be chayev. And he, at that point, he would have to, the chiyuv is chal, then, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, he argues on the Tanakhama, but the Tanakhama apparently holds that since Torah compares Shikcha and Leket and Peah, so it's telling you that all of the Chiyuvim have to be Chal at that point. Because it is only those things that are Chayev in Peah would be Chayev in Shikcha. So because of that, we're going to actually pater. Okay, I really don't feel we had enough time to do a proper job, but okay. We'll leave it at this. All right, everyone. Wonderful. Now we begin our next stage of the period of the Tashlumin for Shavuos. So, Baruch Hashem, we were mashlim the Dapim that we missed. So that chiyuv of the Tashlumin we did. We only have a few issues left undone. I hope Bezrat Hashem will be able to make up with in Shirin. Have a wonderful day, everyone. And thank you for being there to learn with. It's a blessing. Wonderful pleasure.